duties. Emily, are you new? Emily, yes. Hi, welcome.
Yes, I am new.
Welcome.
Thank you.
All right, I think we'll start. So, no prescriptions other than to be comfortable and don't hesitate to change positions at any time. Okay, when you're ready, just let your eyes close. Marking the entrance into the shrine. The coming together. So even though we don't see each other and our eyes are closed, we're in different physical locations. Maybe you can feel with your eyes closed a sense of community in the heart. Maybe you can tell yourself that the presence that you feel right here, right now, we each one of us, we feel that very same presence. Just a very simple, ordinary feeling of beingness. But don't get heady about it. Just more innocently feel that something in what you are experiencing right this moment is shared by each one of us. You don't even need to identify what that is. You belong. And it's completely natural, this belonging. It's not something you have to earn. It's not something you can lose. And when we gather like this, we really sort of can bask together in this sense of belonging. And it's not, we're not belonging to a nation, a country, a political party, an identity, what we belong to is universal. And I think I will stop there, not put words to it. And feel furthermore that every experience that you experience moment by moment belongs here and now. Everything that arises not just thoughts and feelings, but sense perceptions, sounds, anything at all, anything that arises in the field of experience is part of the flock. Nothing is excluded, nothing could be excluded. Every experience in a way is the child of this shared unnameable and I won't say anything more to finish this sentence. So there's a relaxing power to this knowledge that everything is included, everything is belonging. It sort of relaxes the need to know, to compare, to evaluate, to itemize our experience, since everything is already fine, allowed, part of. Maybe you can feel that in this moment. Maybe this knowledge can help you welcome the totality of your experience. Without really paying too much specific attention. As if you were the sky. And you're welcoming the cloud formations. Because no cloud formation could ever be outside your embrace. And because you are borderless. Borderlessness. There isn't too much to do. That's the point of view of the sky. I know that from the point of view of the cloud, it might be a different story. And that perhaps right this moment for some of us, there is a feeling, a density, a difficulty. A sense of being, a fragment of being, disconnected from the totality. So just see if this is the case in your experience in this moment. There may be several such feelings, several such areas, maybe in the body. That seem like isolated fragments. And they may even come with a label or a story. They're like the sheep in the parable, in the Christian parable, that sheep that has strayed away from the flock, that has lost its way. And so what do we do then with this experience? Well, we do exactly what Jesus did. Just go get it. Just go get that experience and take it in your arms. Wrap it around your shoulders. And bring it back to the totality. Just try that. We have to translate this parable, my words, into an experience. Your mind will say, well, how do I do that? What does it mean? What is Ellen saying? Your mind won't know how to do it, but your heart knows how to do this. Trust your heart. And make sure that at times you feel the totality of your experience. Don't become a missionary with the contractions or difficult feelings that may be surfacing, because sometimes that can create a sort of habit of being busy with my suffering. So you have to find the balance between attending to the sheep that has strayed away and then just trusting the unfolding and letting the flock take the shape that it wants moment by moment, including pockets of imperfection, shall we say. We don't need a perfect flock. Now feel your body more specifically, shifting gears a bit. Just feel your body. Just for no reason, don't have any agenda, no spiritual, non-dual agenda, just tasting the body. Saying hello to the body. And see that the body, when we approach it this way, is not a fixed thing. And it's not really a solid thing either. Rather, the opposite. It's a subtle unfolding. Let it be what it's meant to be, this body, in this moment, rather than a solid body bag for me, a separate self. Let it be a living dance of sensations, or vibration, a pulsation, whatever the word may be, movement. Don't feel that you live in it, because you don't. It's the contrary, it lives in you. Just like the clouds live in the sky. And because you're the sky, or you are sky-like, you're pure openness. Just come with me. Oh, be open to that possibility that because you are like the sky, you are pure openness, pure embrace. And the body will like that. Just feel your body. Whisper to your body, you are unfolding in pure embrace. Just whisper that to your hips, to your shoulders, to your jaw. Just take time. Anywhere that there's a bit of tension and holding, you whisper, you. Yes, you. You. Tension in the forehead, gripping in the jaw, holding in the pelvis. You're a cloud in pure openness. And make sure that then you switch to feel yourself as the openness. Feel yourself as the openness. It's allowed. Imagine it first, say it first, and then feel it. I am free of borders. Let your heart open in resonance. Let your mind open in resonance. Let your palms open. Let your feet open. They love that song that you sing when you say, I am openness. Welcome what comes up in terms of suffering. Because when the body is allowed in the openness, its layers begin to surface. And its layers, in part, are the habit of separation, the habit of feeling ourselves to be a separate body. So be very patient. If there's unpleasantness, pain, physical pain, physical, psychological pain, sometimes it's a mixture of both. In various parts of the body, doesn't really matter where. Make sure you learn what to do or what not to do. What not to do. Too much. Don't do too much. What to do? Indicate to the suffering that it's surrounded with kindness. And if necessary, splash a little bit of kindness on it. Sprinkle a little kindness on it. Sometimes you can take the difficult place in your hands and place it in the bath of kindness. Sometimes you can baptize the feeling, submerge it in kindness. The body will welcome this kindness. And when you give this kindness to your body, you give it not just to your body, you give it to the whole creation. It ripples through the whole creation. And of course, I'm saying this is all as if it was all a doing, but at some point, as we rest in silence, we realize there's nobody doing this. It's the movement of love, and it's effortless. Feel where your body rests on the chair or the cushion, and sense that the earth under the body is like a cloud. It's fluffy and soft, like a cushion. And let your body sink into the softness. Your legs, your arms. Really let your sit bones, the habit usually is to feel the earth as hard and not so friendly. That's a habit. And that sets in a sort of habitual wrestling resistance of me the body against not me the earth. A subtle but very habitual separation between me and the environment. So now come back to the feeling of your pelvis, your sit bones, your legs, your arms, or your hands rather, where they touch, what they touch. Let them sink in. Almost as if your legs were sinking into quicksand. Your hands also sinking into the earth, permeating the earth, the temperature of the hands. Don't see the hands, don't see the legs, just feel more like a raw sensation. So that you can shake the legs of sensation vertically down into the earth. Your arms are long. The energy of the earth permeating the body, the words do not really fit. It's not really the earth, it's not really the body. It's a friendly sensation that moves in all directions. Surrender any notion of where you end. Or where the body ends. Slowly elongate the spine without making too much of an effort, very lazily. Feel that it's happening effortlessly, the spine. Elongating, at the same time the legs dropping, the arms dropping, the chin dropping a bit. And then don't elongate, don't do anything, just feel the body like a cloud that's free-floating, completely weightless. Remember, I don't live in the body lives in me. It's easier then for the body to be free-floating. In me, the sky. And I know because it's the case for me too that there are layers of resistance, of ouch, of pain, of all sorts, the geography of separation in the body. But but still evoke this feeling of weightlessness, of openness. And then the layers of suffering, they receive the healing, they receive the touch, the magic touch. Slowly let your forearms lift off your lap, just your forearms. Your upper arms are just resting alongside your torso. I have to use descriptions, but try not to visualize what I'm naming and try to stay with the raw, alive, tactile sensation. It's much more interesting. Feel your shoulders, first let them drop into your elbows. Your pelvis drop into the earth, top of your head to the ceiling. And now slowly the shoulders are rising up towards the ears. Very, very slowly. Feel you're not doing it. It's the first time. You're tasting this ripple without any ideas. And then slowly the ripple travels back the pathway that it came up. And slowly the shoulders are melting down. When I say slowly, it's an understatement. My shoulders are still traveling down. The reason they can still travel down is because I have taken my place as the openness and I have no agenda, no anticipation. Again, the shoulders rising up. You're the openness. No agenda. You have no idea when the ripple will come to rest, to hover. Let it hover, shoulders to the ears, fingertips to the floor, breath is free. And again, the shoulders dissolving back down, don't do it. Eat it. Eat every micro sensation that is surfacing. More, dropping the shoulders more, liberating what lives there. Yes, the hands can come back down. Slow. Contacting skin on fabric, tips of your fingers, touching the cushion, the floor. Very alive. There might be some broken glass there. Feel the texture between the fingertips and the surface. Feel that sensation is living in you alongside the sound of Ellen's voice. Alongside every other perception. Letting this flow of experience be ever so subtle, nothing solid. Your breath, the floor, the sound of Ellen's voice. The feeling in the body, it's all woven out of the same invisible unnameable now. Slowly just let your spine round itself, collapse your skeleton, so to speak. You can even take a nice inhale and a long exhale. Just let the spine round itself. The head is coming down a bit. Breath in the belly. You're not looking for anything, so you can tell your mind that if it's wanting to get somewhere, you might as well leave the shrine and go back to the marketplace, because here there's nothing really to find. Just listening. I don't live in the body, which means this body has more space to unravel. Now, very slowly from the pubic bone, but without really efforting it, without doing it, there's a rising. An unfolding of the spine, very slowly, sensual from the sensation. Pubic bone, the abdomen, belly, the heart area, it's like a licking of the space with the front of the body. No mechanics, just subtle body. And then draw your shoulder blades a little bit back, your elbows, so that you can arch your spine just a little bit. Maybe offering your palms to the ceiling. Face to the ceiling. Yes, slowly coming back with the spine. Don't do it. Let the spine come back to an alignment. The hands come back to where they would like to be. The head floating exactly where it knows where to float, don't do it. The whole body beginning to remember how it connects with the space all around. Let it begin. Will continue to spread open this body. To expand. To say yes. Rather than no. The body of separation says no a lot. In defense and fear. In anger and all sorts of things. In trauma. Natural body. I don't think the natural body says no. I'm not sure it says yes. It doesn't need to say yes. It sort of just is where it's meant to be. Now don't worry if there's a lot of no that is surfacing. It's natural in this contemplation that we do. Because we're sort of praying at the altar of openness and of yes saying. Layers that are usually under the radar. Come up for a peek, for a chance to be seen, to be brought back into the flock. So if there's unpleasantness or resistance, be happy. Slowly, slowly, without doing it, the torso is turning towards the left side. Like a ghost. It's the first time. Your hands can rest one on top of the other on your thigh. And make sure you let the posture empty itself of any doer. Just an innocent cloud in openness. What's happening in the head? I'm sure there's still a bit of a doer in the head. Can you empty the head? Meaning, can you feel the head as a sensation in openness in you? Now feel the whole body. Surrender it to the openness. But don't force anything, that's the trick. You see, you're the sky, you don't care what happens, but your infinite kindness slowly the torso towards the other side. Just a sensation rippling in openness. And the hands resting, and the shoulders dropping, and the chin a little bit dropping, and the spine elongating, and the shoulders a bit more, and the hips and the legs sinking. And now you feel the whole posture, and you let it radiate in all directions, if it so pleases. Welcome the resistance. Yum, yum, yum. It's just a sensation. Let the breath be free. Now the torso comes back. But I don't go anywhere. I let this body come back into me, come back to stillness. Yes, you are brave warriors to follow me. I know that we are going slowly. That we are feeling deeply. But we're not just feeling the suffering, we're also touching the infinite absence of suffering that surrounds the suffering. Feel it now. Feel this field, infinite field of vibration that's all around the difficulty. If it's there for you, it's not always there, but if it is, you just give yourself to that. Give everything to that. Lose everything in that. Let your body move without any knowledge of how it's going to move. Just the torso and the head. But it's not that, it's the sensation called torso and head. Feel it's like a plant in warm water, the currents are moving. The body, the currents are coming from different directions. Let it go, let this body be moved. The arms maybe are gonna be lifted off the lap by a current. No thinking, just allowing this body. This body loves move. This body is movement. It is movement. The body's always moving. Make sure the thinker doesn't take charge. If the thinker is here, trace it back to a feeling in the head area, thinkingness. Let that thinkingness be taken by a current. Your arms are being drawn out. There's some little angels taking a hold of the fingers. Or maybe it's a puppeteer up there in the sky that has attached strings to every articulation in the body. And you have no concept. Just letting movement and expression and breath and the air all around the body and the earth under the body. If the body wants to stand, you let it stand. Here the emotions are very connected to the currents that are moving the body. The emotions are also moving the body. So if there are feelings, let them shape. Shape the postures of the body, the rhythm of the body. Trust whatever happens. It's a moment of freedom and freedom of expression for the body. It doesn't have to be this way or that. Completely free. If it quickens, if it opens, if it contracts. Sometimes there's something that needs to be expressed through movement that has been held down. And finally, the body's given a chance to express with the hands, with the claws, with the teeth, with the mouth, with the hair, with the pelvis, with the breath. Or rather, it's the energies that are given a chance to use the body. Either way, see what happens. You may not be used to move, to letting movement be free like this. So then be very gentle with that feeling of, I don't know how to do this. I don't know. Just let that, I don't know. It has a movement. I don't know. I can't. There's no right or wrong. It's playful. It's not you doing it. Yes, and then just watch the body coming back. Take the time, let it take time, give it the time. You're sort of, I don't know, you know what? I don't know what you are in this moment. You're both the body and not the body. Or the presence weave woven into the body, and the body that is turning to its essential form, which is stillness, peace. Make sure your shoulders are also allowed to return to peace. And whatever may not be allowed, the weight can drop. The jaw, the teeth, the eyes, the back of the body. Now feel the field beyond the body, has a quality, vibration. Can learn to hear that vibration. It's a nice vibration. It's a good vibration. Natural. Not just feeling the coming and the going of the breath without doing any effort. Or just like a very intimate listening to the in-breath, the pause, intimate following of the out-breath. Pause. Then the next in-breath, fresh and new. Unique. And the out breath. See if you can gently purify the breathing of the separate breather, which you will find embedded within the breath. Separate breather being that feeling of grasping, of controlling, of pushing, and purifying the breath of the breather doesn't mean getting rid of the breather, of those feelings. It means returning them to the openness by simply allowing them. Nobody breathing. Breathing is a cosmic event. Feel the breathing isn't just happening in a body. Let the breath permeate your experience, but you don't really know where that experience ends. So maybe feel, allow yourself to feel your breath permeating everywhere, everything. With your eyes closed, you have no idea, so don't create any borders. No pushing the out breath. I saw you. No pulling the in breath. It's not necessary because you're pure openness. You are an open pathway for the breath. You can imagine you're like a baby asleep. So Breathing is really happening without any effort when the baby's asleep. Don't worry if there are layers of separation that are still surfacing, because that's good, as I said. Just give them to the bird song, if you can hear it. Don't do anything. Just abiding with the bird song, with the breath, with all the sheep that are here. In the belonging. In the borderless belonging. Thank you, everyone. We'll take it's 28 past the hour, wherever you are. Let's come back at 25 to the next hour. Just have a little pause and take it easy. Don't swing back into big action, is my advice. Welcome back. Hi, Coco. So if anybody wants to speak, share, ask, this is the time. There's not very much time, but so if you do want to speak, we have to be mindful of time, but otherwise there are no rules and regulations.
Hi,
Hi, is that Pavitra? Hi, Pavitra.
how are you, Kristen? I wanted to quickly say that this was the first time that I experienced the body in myself as opposed to the opposite way around. Or rather, this is the first time that I experienced it like consciously. And that now I've realized that I've experienced it at other moments, but I wasn't aware
I
of it
understand.
really.
Yes, because it's always your experience, actually.
Yeah, so there's a bit of a mind fuck going on, like, wow, okay, wait, hold on.
I know. I know. Well,
So,
that's very good news. It's
yeah.
your baptism. It isn't. I thought the baptism image was really quite a nice image for what we do in these. In these gatherings, it's like we're sort of submerging what we feel ourselves to be in our real self, submerging the body in its real habitat, which is, anyway. Well, it's very nice to hear that, Pavitra.
Thank you so much.
And the nice thing about that is that it's so easy, for me at least, when Frances Lucille, my teacher, used to say, the body, you're not in the body, the body is in you. That's, I got
Yes.
it. It was such an easy thing. It was such an operation of a miraculous operation in a way. Just to say those words was enough.
Wow.
I am not in the body is in me. And then you sort of, you can, yes.
Wow. Cool.
Nice to see you. Hi, Len, go ahead.
Wow. That was some session. Certain point, it was being surprised by the movements that were happening. So movements were happening, and then, oh, it's moving that way or ha this way, or and it was as if the movements were carving through soft butter, just this carving into and being carved by. So it was just and just also the feeling of being breathed, and that allowing whatever came without the tension of commentary on it. It's a beautiful session, so thank you, Helen. Mwah.
You're welcome. And I really, I know it's sometimes very important for us to speak after a session sometimes and to put into words. So it's lovely to hear you sort of put into words. And your wife just came back with the groceries. Just wanted to signal that to you.
I did hear movement.
There she is.
Oh,
Hi, Anna.
Hi.
She's getting back because she knows Corinne's gonna maybe tell us a poem. She'll be
No,
in just a few minutes.
Oh, Ellen, I've been meaning to write to you ever since you made that comment. Because I adore working with you and I adore your work, and it just hasn't been the moment for me. But bless you a thousand times for who you are and how you work with this precious stuff.
Yes, well, you're precious too. Thank you.
Yeah. She has a Brazilian exercise class right before, so I think the transition is a
Yeah,
little
no, but you know what? I think Coco's your woman anyway, and I do. Anyway,
Thank
nice
you,
to
Alan.
see both of you.
Thank
Yeah.
you. Beautiful.
Go ahead, Maria Rosa.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
I discovered something interesting. I don't know if it's applicable, and I don't know if somebody else has experienced this before. Well, because I was experiencing so much feeling of suffocation when I would observe the breathing, and I wouldn't observe the breathing, but when my mind would kind of sit on it for a second, I felt like. And I discovered that I need to take a deeper gasp of air through the mouth fast to kind of like come out of that. Like if I do that, you know, like when somebody, when you're scared of something, you go, or surprised, or you. And I noticed that if if
I'm gonna have to gasp of air if this creature continues to scare us. Sorry, go ahead, Mario.
Was sneaking in and then bam, it fell from. Yeah, so
well,
yeah,
you know what,
I wasn't trying to control the breath. I
yeah,
wasn't
no.
trying to breathe in any way. But I noticed how come that when my mind sits on the breath a second, like kind of like I notice, okay, yeah, right, I'm breathing. Suddenly I feel
yes.
a fist, you know? And it's almost like I don't know what it is. Maybe I
you know you don't need to know
more.
You don't need to know any of what it is. You don't. And I think you're discovering that. Just trust it. Trust the whole process and the gasping of air and then back to, you know, the meditation and then feeling the suffocation. You know, the whole thing is irrational and we try to give it a meaning because we need a little bit of a compass, but you're doing it the right way by allowing the gasp of air. Don't try to suppress that. And, but then the next time you might try not to take the gasp of air and just to see the root of that impulse to take, you know, just
Yeah.
an inspiration. And in the end, we're just, you know, humbly praying at this, the altar of truth, which we don't know, we don't really have it in our hands. We can't. So, but we're demonstrating to the goddess that we are doing our best to understand how this all works. This is what you're doing when you're exploring like that. You know, you're really doing your best. And
Yeah, I just thought that it might be relevant.
It's relevant because it will be very relevant to others who may, with the breath, there might be all sorts of things.
But yeah, it's good you say, you know, because
yeah,
it's yeah. Yeah, it's good you say. Just don't.
Hello, little Baba. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you, Rosa.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye.
And
Bye.
much. Thank you.
Anna. Well, you have to unmute yourself, Anna. There you go.
Thank you. I know that is a little bit of a sign of impatience from me, but I did experience a very peaceful and abiding state. But I get impatient because I want to discover some parts that I want to explore. And the more relaxed I am, the more those parts seem to hide. And then I feel, where are they? I want to see them. But obviously, maybe the answer I already know, but I am curious if you have anything to say.
Interesting question. They will come when they want, when they feel, they will come, don't worry. And definitely the impatience will not help them come.
Mm.
But the impatience itself is a layer of them.
Mm.
Whatever, you know, the impatience is an expression of contraction, of, it's an expression of separation. So what I would suggest is when you feel the impatience, what is that impatience? Take the label away, but really explore it. It's an experience. If it has a name, it must be an experience, and it must be also an experience in the, as a sensation, a tactile experience. It might not be very easy, subtle, because impatience, a bit like boredom, it's not like fear, or it's impatience. So just allow that, because that's already a discovery, you know? And if you do that, you may then be graced with the visitation of what is under the impatience, which might be a deeper layer of fear, or who knows. And then same thing, but yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The impatience, when we feel impatient or bored, we are back in the position of the separate self.
Mm-hmm.
And we are sort of no longer praying at the altar of not knowing or truth.
Mm-hmm.
We are now praying at the spiritual altar. You know, the altar of spirituality, where I want to be spiritual. And we all are doing this all the time. So it's not, I don't mean to put you on the spot with that, but okay. Those feelings, impatience, boredom, sort of chronic agitation, they're really interesting, because they're not big ticket items, as my teacher used to call them. They're more subtle, and they're much more important to catch, to allow, to give space to.
It was mainly the contrast, because sometimes when you feel more rooted, they evaporate. And when you are more vulnerable, a little bit more and anchored, they appear. So I imagine that's the way it normally is.
Yes, it's true that sometimes the feelings are, it's true that when we go back to peace, they don't seem to be there. But the reason for that is because they are not there at that moment. But at the same time, so that's true, but at the same time, they are there, the deep layers, they are there, and they will be exposed sooner or later.
Yes. Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome, Anna. Thank you. The thing is that impatience, if we think about it, it's not the most loving attitude. And again, I don't want to judge impatience, because impatience arises. Yeah, it's not a very, if you have an impatient mother, the children are not likely to go, "Mommy, I'm sad." They're going to be like, "Oh, mom's not in a good mood. I better go curl up." Yes. Something like that. Okay, Coco, are you up to sharing a poem with us? Yeah.
Hi. I didn't mean to be late today. I missed the meditation and I'm sorry. Oh well. I'm glad you all got to receive it. But I just wanted to see you guys today, and I do have a poem for impatience. It's the perfect one. It's called Fluent by John O'Donohue.
What's the title again, Corinne?
Fluent.
Fluent. Fluent.
I would love to live like a river flows, carried by the surprise of its own unfolding. That's it. I would love to live like a river flows, carried by the surprise of its own unfolding. So, and I just, but I also have, and this could be a similar grounding poem from Rilke. How surely gravity's law, strong as an ocean current, takes hold of even the smallest thing and draws it toward the heart of the world. Each thing, each stone, blossom, child is held in place. Only we, in our arrogance, push out beyond what we each belong to for some empty freedom. If we surrendered to Earth's intelligence, we could rise up, rooted as trees. Instead, we entangle ourselves in knots of our own making and struggle, lonely and confused. So, like children, we begin again to learn from the things, because they are in God's heart. They have never left him. This is what the things can teach us: to fall, patiently to trust our happiness. Even a bird has to do that before they can fly.
Perfect. That's really perfect and beautiful. Thank you. Oh boy. I love that poem. I mean, I think you've said it before, but it's one of those poems that's wow.
I could read another one.
Go for it.
But if there's time, but otherwise I will save it.
No, I think there is time, and just say one more poem and then we'll see if there's one more question. And it's very lovely to hear poems. I think it's just perfect.
Or we can unlearn. So far, it's the physical worlds that we speak of. The red frisbee, the sweet blackberry, the small ball. She points to a tree. "This," she says. "Tree," I say. "Well, lilac bush." Already the world slips from its chain of syllables. I want to speak with her about this filtered honey light of a late April afternoon. And I do, but she brings me a rock and says, "This." And I say, "Rock, gray rock." And even more, I want to speak of what comes next. of the longing that this light begets. How it rouses in me a deep wish to lose the physical world and be current, be wave, be invisible flourish, to be warmth that drives flowers to bloom. I want to tell her how sometimes the body interferes, so material, so fleshsome, so brute in its hunger. How beyond the red frisbee, there's a pulse, a rhythm, a tide that no words can touch. And it gathers us and connects us to all that is. One cosmos, one bloodstream, one river, one art. How sometimes we get it, whatever it is, all that is concrete dissolves in the breath. How we're twined to this moment and the next and the next. Nest, I say, as she brings me the small wreath of grass. Bird, I say, as the small body wings past. She smiles and tries to fly, half jump, half fall, all innocence. Yes, I say, that's what love is like. Oh, golden light, oh, luminous task of losing whatever we think we know. Rock, tree, nest.
Somebody unmute yourself and tell Coco how perfect this poem is.
That was perfect, Coco.
Thank you, Coco.
It really was. It really is.
Who so beautiful.
Sorry, that was from Rosemary Watola Traumer.
Oh.
What's that?
Rosemary, what's her name?
Her name is Rosemary Watola Traumer.
Okay.
Yeah. Leslie, I thought of your grandchildren.
I thought you were. And you know what? It's so perfect because I've been noticing how when we name something, we lose a lot of perception of it and experience of it. It's like we categorize and put it on a shelf. Yeah. You know, tree, lilac tree, you know. But when we just see it without any labels, it's so rich and so almost beyond unbordered with us, you know? Mm-hmm. I love that.
And yet that child in the poem, she needs to name, but her naming it is still sort of imbued with something not objectifying. You know, she wants to say the name because I don't know, it's both. Yeah.
It's so interesting. Even COVID, like I will just say, I had a positive COVID test yesterday, and even COVID, it's blossomed into such interesting opening, you know?
Yeah.
So we name things, it's a doorway in, but it's not a barrier, it's not a wall, it's a doorway.
Exactly.
So I love you guys.
Love you too, Coco. Glad you're looking good.
It's beautiful.
Feverish.
Exactly. I'll be sending the poems with the recording. So,
Ellen, anyway. Can you bring back the sound that we call a bird? That was so amazing.
Yeah, we call a bird. Okay, everyone. Well, lovely to see you all. Maybe next week, see you again. Same place, same time. Take care.
Thank you, Ellen.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ellen.
Bye, everyone.
Thanks.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you, Teresa.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye,
all. Bye, Ellen.
Bye, Paolo.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Sandra.
Bye, Coco.
Bye, Ben.
Bye, Ellen. Bye, Ben.
Bye, Leslie Tuckman.
Bye, beautiful Ellen.
Bye, Hoka.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Anna.
Bye, Ben.
Bye, Anna.
Bye.
Bye, Marcus.